Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. I am so delighted that you are here, especially today. I want to say happy anniversary, Second Baptist Church. We are 63 today. That is amazing. Yes, that's worth it. It has been a very special place for me and my family for the past 20 plus years, and I am honored to be here with you all today to celebrate the greatness that is Second Baptist Church. So thank you for being here today, and if you're joining us online, happy anniversary to you too, and we are so glad that you would take some time out of your weekend to be here today with us. Friends, I invite you to take a look at the second helping if you haven't had a chance. Wednesday, September the 1st, we start our new Wednesday night windows from 6 to 7, and I'd love to see you here. We have something for everyone of all ages, kids choir and kids classes and youth hangout and adult classes, and so I invite you to take a look at those and see which one might fit your personality and your likes. There's also a bunch of other information if you're looking to join the choir. We would love to have you talk to Scott and see about standing up here in the loft with all of these amazing people. It would be great to see you back there. I'm delighted to be here today. I hope that you find something amazing out of worship that you can take with you the rest of the week. Now, let's prepare ourselves for worship. Take a moment, take a breath with me. Let's still ourselves and be ready for church. The Lord be with you.
Be in standing for our call to worship. We gather, looking back to see the paths taken. We honor those who have gone before us. We celebrate who we are today. We gather to worship God.
Thank you. please pray with me? Creator God, we come today and express our gratitude to you for who you are. You're the God who hears us, the God who sees us, who walks with us, who cries with us, and who rejoices with us. You are the creator of all, and yet you still know each of us better than we know ourselves. You are worthy of all of our praise and so much more. May we continue to praise you and worship you for all the days of our lives. Amen.
You would join me in these words as we prepare to celebrate baptism. The work of Jesus Christ began with his baptism.
So our work as disciples of Christ begins there too.
Today we present to you Alexa McKenzie, who has acknowledged Christ as Lord and Savior.
We affirm her as our sister in Christ and as a member of this church family. Lord, your joy is our joy. As this family is renewed at the waters of baptism.
The scripture reading Alexa has chosen for this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you.
Well, Alexa, here we are. A few months ago, Alexa McKenzie let her mom and her dad know, and me know, that she was ready to be baptized. And it was right in the middle of where we weren't sure where we were going to be for church, and she was so patient and has been waiting for a long time for this very special day. I have watched Alexa grow up in this church. I've known her since she was a teeny tiny tot. And if you know Alexa, and if you don't know Alexa, I would love for you to know her tenacity. She has a fire in her, and it's really, she's a funky kid, and I have loved seeing her fire come out and how her faith has grown. And she is a leader in this children's ministry, and we are so proud of you today for this decision that you have made to be baptized and to follow Christ. And I am so honored. This is my first baptism and your first baptism, so we are doing it together today. And it's a really cool day for both of us, and so we are so delighted that you could be here to celebrate her. She's got a ton of family here, which is an amazing supporting family that I am always in awe of. So thank you all for being here, and thank you, church, for supporting Alexa. Alexa, are you ready?
Yes.
Alexa, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Well, today, Alexa, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, buried in Christ through baptism and raised to walk in a whole new life. That's amazing. Yes. Let's get this towel around.
And
visitors can come. So good to see you guys. Tongues. Did y'all see what Alexa just did? We call that baptism. And I thought we might talk about it a little bit today. Have you ever seen it before?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you're not foreign to it. You know what? People have been baptized for years and years and years. And Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized, what we think, in a river. Would that be cool to be baptized in a river?
No.
You know what? I know it seems like kind of a strange thing to do, to come in front of all these people and wear a white dress and get dunked in the water. Does it seem like kind of a strange thing to do? I think it does. Well, but it has meaning. And by the way, if you ever want to be a part of that, well, Pastor Cheryl or Pastor Jake will take you and they'll show you exactly how to do it. It's not cold water, y'all. It's warm water, and it's all organized, right, Cheryl?
It's really warm.
It's really, really warm. So baptism has a meaning, and what it means is that Alexa decided she really does understand that God loves her big. He loves her big. And she has decided she's going to return that love. She's going to love God. She's going to hang out with people that help her be the very best that she can be. And she's going to come to church, and she's going to study her Bible and learn. So, or maybe it's kind of like a ring. You know what my ring means?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
It means
that
you're fancy.
I'm fancy. I'm fancy. There's people a lot fancier. This ring means that I'm married, and so it's a symbol. Is this married right there?
No. Yes.
But it's a yes. But it's a symbol of being married, just as baptism is a symbol of following Jesus. You know what? Also, I think it may be kind of like being on a team. Just don't get a T-shirt. Maybe we need to get baptism T-shirts. So you've decided to be on that team. So I think it's really cool. And I really applaud Alexa for being very brave and taking that. What?
They'll give you a church shirt.
A church shirt. We'll do that, okay? Being a baptism shirt. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? So, she was very brave, wasn't she? And we're very proud of her. So let's thank God for Alexa and the big step she made today, okay? Dear God, we thank you for Alexa and all these children. We thank you for the steps she took today, and we pray that someday we get to watch these little ones be baptized. Amen.
We get to be baptized.
You have to ask him. Okay, you can go back to preschool prayers or to your parents. Nice job.
The psalm reading for today is from Psalm 84, verses 1 through 8. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of the springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. The word of God for the people of God.
If you'd pray with me. May these waters of baptism and hope and faith always fill Alexa McKenzie's soul. May they be an encouragement to her family united by blood. And may they be an encouragement to her family united in Christ. We pray that it is your waters, the living waters, O God, that would fill our land, that would feed our souls, that restore our relationships. We pray that it would be your living water, O God, that would never run dry. May this water quench all that we long for and all that we need. May this be so, not for our benefit, but may this be so to the glory of the name of Christ, the one who is and was and is to come, the one who meets us at baptism, who leads us into the waters, and who lifts us out of the depths. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.
The epistle reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the spirit at all times, in every prayer, in every supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of God for the people of God.
Joy it is to celebrate baptism with you, Alexa, and to hear your voice, Avery, read scripture. Would everyone like to just have Anderson give the sermon, and we could, I'm going to take that as a yes, and grateful for this church, and by this church, I mean you. You are the church. The church is not an organization, it's not a building. You are the church. And if you have been here since August the 16th, 1958, wonderful, beautiful. And if this is your first time to worship with us, you are still as much as the church as whoever has been sitting in that same chair for 2,000 years. It is your face, your presence, your heart, your voice that the light of Christ flows through. It is you, the primary way, you, that I know that Christ is risen, and grateful for you. When I was a kiddo, one of the things that I did, and I was reminded of this last week, as many of you started school, and some of you still maybe starting school tomorrow, but I was reminded of this this past week is something that I did as a kiddo. We were very fortunate and privileged and grateful for my parents. Throughout at some point, most summers, we got to go and get new school clothes. Yeah. And it was a ton of fun. And one of the things I loved to do is on the last night of summer, the night before school started, is I like to lay my clothes out on the floor. It looked like a mannequin, you know. It was like one of those scenes from that awful book series Left Behind, you know, just like this clothes on the floor. And we shared a room with my brother, and he didn't like to do that. And we are still continuing to work on those differences. And someday maybe he'll learn. But and I can remember one time we went on a tax-free weekend to the Tanger Outlet Mall. Hallelujah. And this was very off-brand for my parents. And they bought for my older brother, myself, and my younger brother, all three of us, got Reebok pumps. And if you didn't know how cool your pastor was and is, it was a splurge. Our parents bought us three total pairs, one for each of us, a pair of Reebok pumps. And I remember it was the only time in my life. You see, my parents wouldn't let us wear the new sneakers until school started. And so my dad put these brand new shoes in the top of his closet. It was the only time in my life I could not wait for summer to be over. I could not wait to set those Reebok sneakers out on the floor the night before school started. Later on into into my ever-increasing coolness when I had a vehicle and was able to wait tables and put some petty cash that burned holes in my pockets. I went, fancy pants, went to the mall and bought a pair of jeans from a store called The Buckle. And this was a bit more of a splurge than the Target, Walmart, two for $10 that my parents were agreeable to. And so I bought myself a pair of designer jeans. And I'll never forget my grandmother, who is a wild woman. She was born outside of a small town outside of Comanche, Texas, not too far from here. She would, in the fall, when the Cowboys are playing at noon, if the preacher got anywhere near 12 o'clock, she'd stand up right in the sermon and say, "Come on, we're going home. Cowboys are about to kick off." This woman is wild and fabulous, and she's just been a tremendous influence on my life. And I'll never forget the day I wore those designer jeans into her home. She's got a bit of a flair for the dramatic, as I've already described. And I walked in to my grandmother's home there on East Leech Street, 1706. And she saw what I was wearing, and she began to weep. And she began to scream. She said, "Jake, I am going to have a very stern talk with your father as to why he cannot afford for you to wear jeans that don't have holes in them." It's incredible, yeah? And here I was, and I thought I was something special. And here, all of this rush of emotion, this woman who lived as many before us had lived through this Great Depression, who had been ashamed that her life and her children's life was full of handmade clothes, hand-me-down clothes. And here is a grandson now wearing jeans with holes in it. And if you are here today with us in worship and your jeans have holes in it more than just whatever allows for you to get your body in them, you are so cool and you are so welcome, and we're glad that you're here. This is an inclusive community. So whatever sort of denim you're wearing, especially if it was originated in West Texas cotton, can a brother get an amen? Scripture says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. That this is our offense and our defense of faith, to put on the full armor of God. And here in Ephesians, there seems to be an extended emphasis on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith. And I think at least one possibility for us here, it skips kind of sort of right over the helmet of salvation. It skips sort of right over the sandals that make one ready. There seems to be more emphasis on that which is in the middle area of the body. And this is because I believe the Hebrew people, this was the center of a person. This was where the soul and this is why food laws are so important in the Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish tradition. This is where the center of a person was. And so this incredible command, even to put on the full armor of God, and then with such emphasis on that which is in the diaphragm, is really at one simple level just a reminder: what is at your center? What is at your center? A fabulous question for us all to ask. What is that which is most important? What is that of worth? Right. However, I will say, and so grateful for those of you who have served in the military, or you're a police officer, or a firefighter. I was so grateful for those of you who are healthcare medical professionals. You see, the metaphor of armor is not one that really connects with me much. My only experience with armor has really increased since we've moved here to Lubbock. When I hear the word armor, I think of under, right? Under. It's really my only experience with armor. And this is how my life works, okay? And you need to know, you have been forewarned. I do not yet have any Under Armour red and black swag. I swear this will happen. If there is ever a day where I am so blessed to purchase name brand swag, donning a double T and a U and an A, you can be sure that next year Texas Tech will sign a contract with Nike. Okay? That is how my life works. So be warned if you ever see such, because, and then the next year it'll be Adidas, and then the next year, no. Armor is not really a metaphor that has connected well with me. It is a metaphor that probably connected well with the original readers of this letter in our scripture. There were Roman soldiers and other soldiers who were just present in the town, who were present at various checkpoints along the path for business. So certainly this is a metaphor that works well in scripture. And for some of you, and we're so grateful for those of you who really serve and bless you in your ministry, military and public service, and those particularly even right now who are serving in a beautiful way in our healthcare system. However, I think there's even tension that we can find even here in our scripture. So verse 11 says, put on the full armor, and yet four verses later in verse 15, it says, be ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. It sort of, I think, creates this tension. Why is armor even needed for a gospel of peace? Yeah. On the night before he gave his life for the sake to love the whole world, on the night before Christ received the cross, there in a garden, those who had set out to humiliate and execute him, they rushed to him in the garden, and there were his disciples, thinking that possibly this is the moment of insurrection. This is the moment in which the Messiah, Jesus, will be the Messiah Davidic-like warrior figure and restore the kingdom of David. And as you well know, it was one of the disciples that pulled out a dagger and attacked one who had come to betray the Lord. And it was then and there that Jesus, as he always did and always has and always will, reached out to the one who had been injured, not in violence, not in retribution, but reached out and healed. Right. And so this is the tension present, I think, within this metaphor. So how do we consider armor, putting on the full armor of God within the larger context of Scripture? And this is really our task most weeks. And if you've ever been online and ever had a friend post some scripture online, oftentimes it's awful. And you can pull out one scripture and you can post it online and make it condemn and say all sorts of nonsense. And really what our task is to widen, right? The mercies of God are wide, as the Psalms say. I think our task often is to widen our paradigm, to receive all of Scripture in connection with the whole. Right, so any one particular scripture we interpret, we hold against the greater story, which is also why one sermon is not very helpful. Amen, amen. Yeah, this is why we return to worship week after week. This is why we return to Bible study week after week. This is why we return to small group and to group work with one another, because we're widening our understanding. We're widening the amount of material we take in. So I like to understand this this metaphor of putting on the full armor of God in coordination with Genesis 3. And it was there in Genesis 3 that Eve and Adam refused, now this is my interpretation, Eve and Adam refused limitation. And God created boundaries in the garden, and Adam and Eve refused to live with boundary. And this, ironically, as spirituality often is the case, tremendous irony, it is the refusal of boundary, the refusal of limitation in Genesis 3 that consequences with more limitation, right? When we refuse limitation, what we're actually doing in our lives is creating more limitation. You were not created to live without boundary. And this is incredible. At this moment of transition from God-given limitation to now human-created limitation, as Adam and Eve are sort of journeying into this this new epic of reality, and this is fabulous, what we read is that the divine says, I have fashioned for you clothing. Adam and Eve, who were naked in the garden, now with new limitation. And is it the work of God here in Genesis 3 that God has given Adam and Eve clothing made of leather, made of hide? This is absolutely incredible, and I think so terribly important. When we mess up, the act of God to respond is to give that which we need. God is actively, from the very beginning, seeking to give that which is needed. Yeah. So tired is the concept that when we refuse limitation and receive new limitation, so tired is the idea that in response to such, God propitiates more guilt, more shame, more condemnation. That's not what we read here. Adam and Eve are set off into this new journey, and God gives to them that which they need. In a world obsessed with what do you want, right? We have such great hope and faith in a God who desires to give that which is needed. Ah, this is so good. And it reminds us that truly the foundation of our work together, truly the foundation of the life and the ministry and the teachings of Jesus, who said, when was I hungry? When was I naked? When you did unto the least of these, surely you did unto me. The foundation of our faith and the foundation of our work and our walk together in faith is sharing with one another, what do you need? This is how the early church actually began and started when they would gather for a meal that we call communion or Eucharist or Lord's Supper, as we read in Acts. They gave to one another as was needed. Essentially what the translation was there, as the early church gathered for a communion meal, before the meal began, they all looked at one another and said, has everyone paid the rent first? Have all the single moms, have all the jobs at her house been, have all the things that are needed been addressed before we continue to gather in joy and in worship? And we know this. We know this, that children, we don't feed their souls, we don't feed their minds, we can't until we have fed their tummies, right? And when I say children, I mean, yeah, what is it that you need? That's sort of the first interpretation of God fashioning these clothes for Eve and for Adam into this new reality. I think the second interpretation that we receive really from the rabbis is this is not a fashioning of clothing. Rather, as Adam and Eve transition into this new world, it is at this moment in the story in which God wraps Adam and Eve in skin. Yeah. Skin, which is so incredibly important for our faith, as we read thousands of years later, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the Logos, Christ received skin. Yeah. As I understand, and maybe this grosses you out just a little bit, as I understand, most of the dust in our homes is your skin. I don't dust at our home. We have some clearly delineated chores at home. If anyone dusts at our home, it would have been Allison, or more often than not, the house is just dirty. And I have a current theory that not only is most of the dust in our home skin, there's also a good bit of New Mexico just kind of like floating around in our home. And now this is incredible. This is incredible. Every 30 days, our skin regenerates. Yeah, God has wrapped us. God has clothed us as we go forward into this new realm, into this new story, into this new day. And even our skin cells, like all of the cells in our body, even our skin cells are regenerating. They are resurrecting. They are proclaiming, our very bodies are proclaiming that we have been clothed by God. What do you need? And I would just encourage you, my brothers and sisters and friends, to take some time. Take some time to think about how to put on Christ. And this is what we receive in the letter of Galatians. It says, at our baptism, Alexa, we are clothed with Christ. I think this is the metaphor that works better than the concept of armor. I think to consider how we are clothed encapsulates how we can understand armor. Our greatest, the thing that is most true about you is that you have been clothed by God. The thing that is most true about you is that the very Holy Spirit resides deep within your flesh, and then it's all wrapped in skin to secure that there is no division any longer between flesh and spirit. Think about, maybe this week, what might be worth setting out on the floor ahead of time. Think about this week, what might be worth putting on, even if you have to wait just a few more weeks until summer is over. Think about the things that we put on that might have holes in it and impact people in ways that are far beyond what we can see and what we can understand. I'd like to leave you with this story. It's a personal confession from Harvard Divinity professor and pastor Stephanie Paulson. And she writes this. Several years ago, having miscarried a cherished pregnancy on the day after Christmas, I found myself seemingly screwed to my bed with depression, unable to work, read, or pray. I was, however, able to talk on the phone. And day after day, I wore out my friends, especially Kay. In the last year, Kay had left behind a job, a salary, luxuries of the modern world, and colleagues in order to spend a year or two in prayer and in silence. Violating her dearly bought solitude again and again, I called her and I wept on the phone. I'm so depressed that I can't even pray, I told her. I try to pray, but I cannot. A few days later, a package arrived from Kay, and it contained a very simple beige romper. It also had a note that read, I have prayed in this clothing nearly every day for the last year. You, my friend, do not have to pray, but I do ask that you wear it. It is full of prayers. And I did wear that dress. I wept in it, and I cried out to God why. I let the prayers in that dress pray for me. And when I became pregnant again years later, the dress was still loose enough. It was spacious enough. It was worn enough that I wore that dress to term. And thanks be to God that the prayers in that dress were also loose enough, spacious enough, worn enough to pray me to term. Now, brothers and sisters and friends, may you be clothed with Christ, that which is worn enough, and spacious enough, and loose enough, which is in fact the greatest armor of all. Let's pray together. Awake thee, O my soul, and let the fire of heavenly love be kindled in thy heart. Wisely consider the beauty that which the Lord God has bestowed upon thee. Christ has condescended to dwell in thee, clothe thee, cover thee, adorn thee with himself. As the apostle said, we have been baptized into Christ. We have put on Christ. What praise, what thanksgiving, while though rightly bestowed upon Jesus, who has clothed thee with great beauty, exalted thee to great honor, that thou can say with all joy of thy heart, the Lord has clothed me with garments of salvation. Christ has covered me with a robe of righteousness. It is the highest joy of the angels of God to contemplate Christ, and lo, of his boundless condescension, that Christ is pleased to clothe thee with himself. St. Anselm of Canterbury, good and gracious God, hear these, our prayers. If we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we would be honored to do so. We invite you to stand as we continue to worship together.
Dear God, 63 years ago, a new kind of church was born, a church that celebrates new Christian baptism and facilitates development into deeper Christian maturity and thoughtful faith, a church where all are welcome and all are called to service, to minister to people in need, where sinners and saints gather together as faithful followers of Christ, seeking inclusion, justice, peacemaking, and reconciliation. We value thoughtful questions over simple answers. We seek to offer ourselves to your purposes rather than making you the means to ours. We give of our time, our money, and our passion to be transformed into people who see you in all things, in all of creation. Accept our gifts, and may they be used for whatever is best for all involved. Lord, use us, we pray, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pass the peace of Christ to one another. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ.